Hey, the name's Andy, and what I am about to relate is not a simple scary tale. It is a warning, something that I thought was not possible and I used to make fun of, but that everyone here knew to be true but me. This is the story of my encounter with the Varia Nui. I will start from the beginning. I live in a small village surrounded by forests and rivers. Here, life is quiet, almost monotonous with the same routine day after day. I work in a factory on the outskirts, and in my free time, I usually walk along the forest paths. It's something that always relaxed me, at least until that day. A few weeks ago on one of those regular walks, something happened to me that I will never forget. The afternoon had been especially quiet, and I decided to walk along a less traveled route, looking to be alone and quiet. I knew that they counted ridiculous scare zones in that area. Surely no one would be hanging around. As I crossed a small clearing, I noticed a man on the other side of the lake. He was standing completely still, watching me. He was an old man with graying hair and beard, wearing worn clothes that looked like they had seen better days. The man looked at me in a very curious way, as if he already knew me. He raised a hand to greet me. His gesture was slow and deliberate, but it didn't make me feel welcome. Something in his expression caused me inexplicable discomfort. I decided to keep walking, averting my eyes, and walked deeper into the forest. I didn't want to think about him anymore. For several days, I tried to forget that day I met the old man. I know I was exaggerating. After all, he was just a simple old man who greeted me from far away. But that wasn't it. There was something else. Something else about that encounter that I couldn't get out of my head. But I didn't know what. One night, after a particularly exhausting day's work, I found myself unable to sleep. My mind kept going back to that clearing, to the old man, to his gaze. As the days went by, that dream became more and more recurrent. I used to see that old man and that lake every day. It didn't make any kind of sense. I decided that I should go back to the place where I saw him, as if confronting him would dispel those weird thoughts I had. The next day after work, I returned to the forest. The trail was darker than I remembered, and the air was colder. I walked leisurely, but with the feeling that something wasn't right. When I reached the clearing, there he was again, the old man, standing by the lake in the same place. This time, he did not greet me. He simply watched me. I couldn't see his face perfectly, but I could see a huge smile on his face that looked friendly, but was not. The old man didn't say a word, but started walking towards me with slow but determined steps. As he got closer, I felt something strange in my head. Everything in my head became very blurry and fuzzy. It was as if my brain was foggy and thinking would be difficult. It was like he was there, but at the same time, he wouldn't be. I couldn't look away from him as if something was keeping me tethered to his presence. With every step I took, the world around me seemed to disappear. The sounds of the forest died away. All that was in that forest was that man walking towards me. I tried to scream, to move, anything, but I could not. I was trapped in his gaze, in some kind of trance that I couldn't get out of. Then, when he was only a couple of meters away from me, I saw something on his skin that filled me with terror. In the dim light of dusk, I noticed that this old man, he was not an old man at all. He wasn't even human. His skin had a greenish hue. His hands, which I could now see clearly, were more like claws. And his eyes, they were black, as if they were those of some animal. It was that detail, the sight of his real hands, that brought me out of my trance. Suddenly, as if something inside me had clicked, I regained control of my body. Without thinking, I turned around and started running. I didn't care where I was going. I just needed to get away from that thing. I ran through the woods, not looking back. It wasn't chasing me, but I still knew I was in danger. I had never gone that far into the woods, but the adrenaline kept me moving. After what seemed like an eternity of running, my body began to tire. My legs burned, and my breathing became more and more labored. This being was no longer behind me. He never was, since he didn't seem to follow me. But what was I going to do? Stand still and take the risk? It was then that I felt a sharp sting in my leg. I stumbled, fell to the ground, and screamed in pain. I saw a snake slithering through the bushes. It had bitten me, and the pain was intense, like a fire spreading rapidly up my leg. I knew this snake. We had to watch out for it when we walked in the forest. This was a poisonous snake. I tried to get up, but I ran out of strength and fell back to the ground. The poison was spreading through my body, and the world began to spin. I fell again, this time on my back, looking up at the sky. I was beginning to lose consciousness. I was dead. I would never survive a snake attack in the middle of the forest. I could only panic. I didn't want to die, and I couldn't believe it happened so innocently. As I closed my eyes, I didn't know if it was another hallucination, but the poison. But I saw the old man slowly approaching and staring at me. The last thought that crossed my mind before I lost consciousness was that this thing, this being, was there to take me. If what I was seeing was real, then I was grateful for what the snake did to me. I didn't want to be conscious or alive when that man abducted me. When I regained consciousness, I was in a completely different place. I was in a bed surrounded by white walls and with a strong smell of disinfectant in the air. It took me a few seconds to realize that I was in a hospital. The light coming through the windows was blinding after the darkness of the forest. I tried to move, but a dull ache in my leg prevented me. That's when a nurse came in, and seeing me awake, smiled reassuringly before leaving to fetch the doctor. I was in a daze trying to remember how I had gotten there and what had happened after I fell in the woods. The doctor came in shortly after. He asked me a few questions about what I remembered, and although I tried to explain what had happened, his face remained impassive. He told me that I had arrived at the hospital on my own, walking to the entrance before passing out.
"You were disoriented and poisoned," he explained. "You were bitten by a snake. Do you remember any of that? None of us understand how you survived, as we detected that some of the venom had been neutralized by someone who assisted you in the forest."
What he said left me puzzled. How could I have gotten there, and who had removed the poison from my body? I tried to remember, but all I had were confused images of the old man, the forest, and the pain in my leg. Nothing made sense. The doctor was talking to me, but my mind was elsewhere. A thought was running through my head, and I couldn't get it out. I remembered the old man, his green skin, his black eyes, and how he had found me in the forest. There was no other explanation. The old man, that creature, had saved me. When I was discharged, I learned a little more about the legends of the place and the nature of this being. This Vadanoi was neither good nor evil. He was beyond that. He simply helped or condemned people, depending on how they liked him. And my life depended on it. On the whim of a monster who chose whether to let me die or save me with an absolute disinterest in my life. I did not return to the forest after that. The Vadanoi had not tried to kill me, but I felt like nothing more than a toy. A toy that could entertain him at times, but could also be discarded when I started to bore him. Who knows? Maybe I was right to feel that way. What are we to a creature like that? That terrifies people, even before I was born.
Hi, my name is Marcus, and it's been several years since the story I'm about to tell you. It happened on a trip to Latin America. I was going to Argentina to see a concert. There I made a friend named Javier, who had invited me to his farm in Paraguay, a bordering country. He was in Argentina because he was living with his wife there, but he was planning to return to his country of origin, and we could go to his farm, a place away from the rest of the towns. The first day at the farm was normal. We arrived in the afternoon, and Javier showed me around. The house was small, made of wood, but comfortable. It was surrounded by huge, thick forest. Javier had told me that at night the countryside had a special charm, a peace that could not be found anywhere else, and it was true. Being away from the city, the stars shone much brighter in the countryside, something that may be obvious, but I'd never seen it. The second night, however, something changed. While we were drinking beers on the porch, Javier mentioned something strange. "Not everything here is so nice. We also have traditions and legends that we have to respect. There is one in particular you should know about."
"What do you mean, like werewolves and stuff?"
"Hey, don't make fun of me." "There's another thing. They call it the Pombrito. Cool name. People say he's a spirit of the forest who takes care of the trees and animals, but also that he can be very dangerous if he gets angry." I laughed when I heard it. I thought it was a joke, one of those stories they tell to scare outsiders. Javier didn't laugh. "Hey, I told you it's not a joke, man. There are people here who say they've seen it. Reliable people.
They say he can drive those who mess with him crazy. I didn't think anything of it. After all, I didn't believe in such things. Although I'll give him one thing. Either Javier was a great liar, or he really was convinced that this story was real. Whatever the case, he managed to scare me, even if it was just a little bit. On the third night, I woke up at dawn for no apparent reason. It was 3:15 a.m. I felt a shiver, but ignored it. I got up to go to the bathroom, and as I walked around the house, I noticed that everything was strangely quiet, quieter than usual. There was no wind, no sound of the insects that used to be so noisy. Everything was just dead. After using the bathroom, I went back to bed, but I couldn't sleep. There was a feeling in the air that I couldn't explain, a kind of pressure in my chest. I didn't know why, but I just felt that something wasn't right. A part of me was telling me to run away, but the more logical part of me, the part I thought I had to listen to, was telling me that I was being suggestible because of the story Javier had told me. I laid back down in the bed and tried to get some sleep, but every time I closed my eyes, the image of a small, deformed creature with a straw hat formed in my mind. Hours later, I heard something outside. At first, I thought it was an animal, but the noises were too rhythmic, like footsteps. Slow, light footsteps approaching the house. I froze. The footsteps stopped just outside the door. I held my breath, hoping it was just my imagination, but the silence was even more terrifying. I didn't dare move or even breathe hard. Minutes passed, though for me it seemed like hours, before I finally heard those footsteps again, walking away. There was no way that this could have been my imagination. I did hear footsteps, albeit small ones. Those footsteps went to my door, and whoever had been standing in it left after a while. It didn't make sense that Javier would have done something like that, but I was going to ask him anyway. I couldn't sleep the rest of the night. When the sun came up, I went out on the porch to try and calm down. Javier could tell that something was wrong. I told him what had happened, expecting him to laugh and tell me that his story was false and that he'd just been trying to make a joke. But instead, his face became serious. "Marcos, I think you should leave." Javier insisted that it was best for me to leave, but I didn't. I stayed, convinced that if I left, I would never forgive myself. I convinced myself that it had been some drunk person or something. Whatever happened, I had to know what it was. I couldn't live with the doubt. Little did I know that this doubt was going to be resolved much quicker than I thought. That same afternoon, I explored the woods around the house. As I was walking along, I heard it. A few peeps were near me. I stopped, trying to locate the source of the sound, but it was impossible. The footsteps continued and were accompanied by a whisper. I didn't understand anything it said, but I assumed it was Guarani, the language spoken in this country. I started walking back to the house, faster this time, but the footsteps were also getting faster. Suddenly, I saw something on the ground, some footprints that were close to mine, as if he had followed me. They were small footprints, like those of a child, but deformed, with elongated fingers and sharp nails. "Are you all right? Did you find him?" "No, but I saw his footprints. Something was following me. I heard it." "Hey, hey, hey. They say he can make you lose your mind. That's what he wants. He plays with your mind until you don't know what's real or what's not. The worst part is, you can't see him unless he wants you to." "I want to go. I want to go now." "Brother, there's no transport today, but tomorrow morning I'll get you out of here. Just stay calm." That night I locked myself in my room, determined to not come out until Javier got me out of there at dawn. I prayed that I would have a quiet night and that everything would pass quickly.
But getting out of there was not going to be so easy. Around midnight, the whispers came again, this time inside the house. I covered my ears, trying to block them out, but it was no use. The whispers turned into laughter. Laughter coming from everywhere. Those sounds were not coming from inside the house. They were coming from inside my head. I didn't know what to do. I tried to call Javier, who was in the dining room. He was going to take care of me, but he had fallen asleep. I tried to yell at him, but my voice wouldn't come out. That's when the door to my room slowly opened. No one was there, but the laughter grew louder. I felt an intense cold as if something was entering the room. I didn't dare move. I knew that if I did, whatever was in there would get me. But then, I saw it. In the corner of the room, a shadow. Small, misshapen. Wearing a straw hat. It had no face, but I felt that it was looking at me. The Pomberito. I knew it was him. The terror I felt at that moment was indescribable. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't move. The shadow was slowly approaching, his footsteps echoing on the wooden floor. Without wasting time, I rushed to grab a flashlight and turn it on with trembling hands. The light was dim, but it had a surprising effect. The Pomberito stopped dead in his tracks, recoiling slightly as if the light made him uncomfortable. That instant gave me the break I needed. With a cry of sheer desperation, I raised the flashlight and threw it at the Pomberito. I seized the opportunity to pounce on the door, yanking it open. But on my way to it, I froze. This wasn't fear or anything of mine. I didn't feel like I was paralyzed. I felt like something was paralyzing me. I turned around and saw the Pomberito slowly approaching me, furious. When he was just a few steps away, he stopped and looked away. It was Javier. "Hey, it's okay. We're sorry to have bothered you. I brought you some tobacco. I know you like it. I'll put it down here and leave." More relaxed, the Pomberito ignored me and grabbed the tobacco. Javier slowly approached to help me stand up. He looked confident, but all that confidence came to nothing. The Pomberito let out a war cry and tried to walk toward us.
"What? It's impossible. I treated him with respect. I gave him a gift. Did you do something to him?"
I pointed a flashlight and then I threw it at him."
"What? Have you lost your mind? Run! We have to go now!"
Javier didn't wait for me to answer. He grabbed my arm and pulled me towards the car. The footsteps followed us, getting closer and closer. Javier started the car and sped down the dirt road, but the headlights illuminated something in the distance. El Pomberito was there, in the middle of the road, waiting for us. Javier didn't stop. He accelerated more, and when we were about to crash into him, the figure disappeared.
"That wasn't El Pomberito. He was behind us. He's messing with our heads. From now on until we get there, don't believe anything you see. And if he comes near me, don't tell me."
We drove nonstop until we reached the city. During that time, I heard him several times on the roof. I thought I saw him in the back seat. But I ignored everything. I just closed my eyes and kept quiet. When we got to the city, things only got worse. Javier went back to Argentina with his wife, and I went back to the States. The nights became unbearable. Sometimes, in the darkness of my apartment, I think I see that shadow in the corners. But when I turn on the light, there's nothing there. Other times, I would just hear it talking to me. One day, I got a call. It was Javier's wife. She told me that she had found him dead in their house. He had gotten drunk and taken his own life. It was the same for him as it was for me. I didn't need any details. Since the day Javier had died, all that paranoia and those voices just stopped. As if the Pomberito had been satisfied with getting rid of one of us. Even so, the fear remains. You don't learn to stop being afraid. You just get used to it. I live every day knowing that it might be my last. But for now, I'm still alive. Who knows if tomorrow I'll be that lucky. And if not tomorrow, will it be the next day? Or the next? Or the next?
Hey guys, my name is Robert, and I'm a person who loves summer. Although it wasn't always that way. For a long time, I always loved winter. Something about the cold, the fireplace, and the hot chocolate had me in love. But one day, I realized that the cold was more dangerous than it seemed. While I was in my cabin, cozy with my pet, something outside was stalking me. I still remember that moment like it was yesterday. It was cold. A cold that got into your bones and stayed there. It was winter and I lived with my pet in a small cabin in the middle of nowhere. The snow covered everything like a white blanket that hid the secrets of the forest. But there was something else in the air. Something I couldn't see but felt lurking in the shadows. One night, as I sat by the fireplace, I heard a noise outside. A sound which quietly could have been some snow, but just in case, I decided to investigate. I got up and looked out the window, but saw nothing. I was struck by the attitude of Ace, my dog. He always wakes up at the slightest noise, but this time, he was on top of my bed, far from the window and scared. Outside the window, there was only darkness and slowly falling snowflakes. I shook my head, convincing myself that it was my imagination playing tricks on me. The following nights were worse. The sound became louder, more intense. Every time I looked out the window, I saw nothing. Just darkness and silence. I began to feel a pressure in my chest as if something was squeezing my heart tightly. Something was wrong. What was generating those sounds? Why did they stop when I approached the window? Why did Ace seem more and more scared? I admit, I was very afraid. Not afraid of the sounds themselves, but afraid that I knew that sooner or later, I was going to find out what was causing them. One morning when I woke up, I discovered footprints in the snow around my cabin. Big and deep, like those of a huge animal. But something didn't add up. There were no animals this time of year. At least, not ones that left such tracks. I started to worry but tried to play it down. Maybe it was just a stray bear. The temperature dropped even lower and the cabin got colder. Despite having the fireplace constantly lit, the cold persisted. I began to notice my things disappearing. A blanket, food, utensils. At first, I thought it was just me or that Ace had grabbed them. But I soon realized that something else was going on. One night, I decided to wait up to see if I could figure out who or what was behind it all. I sat in the dark, staring out the window. Ace was acting very strange as he stayed scared under the bed and refused to come out, which was very unusual for him. Once I waited for a while, the rustling started again. But this time, it was accompanied by a figure moving through the trees. I could not see it clearly, only a dark shadow that crept stealthily. The shadow was slowly approaching, and my heart was pounding. I tried to stay calm, but it was impossible. I found it hard to breathe, hard to move, hard to make a decision. I was genuinely terrified. The figure emerged from the trees, revealing its presence. It was a tall, thin creature with glowing red eyes. I froze as the figure approached the hut. Suddenly, the temperature dropped even lower, and the fireplace went out instantly. Meanwhile, the creature approached the window and began to stare at me. Suddenly, the creature raised a skeletal hand and pointed directly at me. At that moment, I felt my life flash before my eyes. This couldn't just be fear. Whatever that being was, it was doing something to me just by looking at me. The temperature in the room dropped drastically, and I could see my breath turn into small clouds of vapor. The creature, without averting its gaze, began to move towards the door of the cabin. My thoughts became chaotic as I tried to understand what this entity was and why it was here. With a chilling creak, the door slowly opened, as if the creature had control over the environment itself. The cold invaded the cabin, freezing the air and causing the faint moonlight to filter in a little at a time. The figure entered, moving very slowly.
"What are you? Why are you here?"
Without answering me, the figure slowly advanced through the hut, leaving in its wake a trail of icy air that seemed to freeze everything around it. My muscles tensed, and despite the cold, a layer of cold sweat covered my forehead. I watched helplessly as the entity approached, its presence seeming to suck the light and warmth from the room. Suddenly, the creature stopped and raised its skeletal hand towards the fireplace. An icy wind blew from its direction, fanning the extinguished flames with unearthly force. The flames generated no heat, and to my surprise, they were blue. The creature's eyes were still locked on mine, its gaze piercing as if it was reading my thoughts. Though it spoke no words, its presence was laden with malice and malevolence. My thoughts turned to the possibilities of a confrontation, but something in his gaze warned me that confronting this being could be worse than anything I had experienced before. I began to gasp for breath. I couldn't muster the strength to run away. I couldn't fight it, and I didn't think I even had the ability to hide. Something about its presence told me that any attempt to do anything was going to be futile. All I could do was stand there, leaving my fate in the hands of this monster. Suddenly, I could see Ace jump from under the bed and start barking at the strange being. My dog was terrified, but in the face of danger, he came to my defense and confronted this imposing being. As I watched, I knew something terrible was about to happen to him, so I began to cry. This was not just a dog. He was my only companion for years. I could not let anything happen to him. The terrifying being looked at my dog and then at me. And just like that, as if it had never come, it just walked away and left. As soon as Ace and I were alone, all the terror vanished out of nowhere. But the night was not over yet. Suddenly, I heard a noise on my roof. That noise was heavy, as if a huge snowfall had suddenly fallen. The roof began to crumble. I knew we were safe. It could be a long time before it fell, but still, I decided to gather all my things and leave. From that day on, Ace and I lived at my cousin's house for a while, and then went back to living on our own, but in a town. I never understood what happened that day, but I think whatever visited us decided to spare my life. The fact that the cabin fell soon after makes me think that it wanted us out of the place. You know, I'm not afraid of that being. I'm even grateful that it let us go. Whatever it was, the only important thing is that Ace and I are still alive, and that we're not going anywhere near a cabin for the rest of our lives.